Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. And great Saturday. Good to be here. And joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
Great to be here.
Yeah, so tons of things to talk about this week, and we'll kind of narrow it down to two that I think are important. And of course, let me say right off the top, I want to thank Jimmy from Manchester, who's been sending a lot of information on Prop 1, and we're going to do a couple shows as we get closer to that.
It's only a penny increase.
What, in your words, dude, 17% increase. Come
exactly.
On. Yeah, I'll say this again. You want to charge me an extra 1% sales tax?
Don't you want good roads?
If it's for the roads, yes. All that other crap, that's it. The more Jimmy sends me, the more I see that's in there. This is nonsense.
So you want good roads, but you just don't want to pay for them.
I do want to pay for them.
You don't want
I
to
want
pay.
To pay for the roads.
Not even a penny.
Alone.
Not even a penny.
Absolutely. I'll pay a penny. One penny. No, I would. I want everything removed except for road funding. I don't want to see one other special interest bridge, mass transit, bike path, or anything else in there. I want it simple, I want to be able to read it, and I want to know what I'm getting for my money.
How about the albino chinchilla preferences of carrots versus apples study?
All right, I'll pay for that too. Okay, that one we'll put in. No. No, I want nothing in the road tax except the road tax. I want to see how much you're going to get from me, and I want to see where it's spent.
Yeah, it should be a
that's
one.
That's it.
Should be a one pager.
Yeah. So, Rhino Rick, I know you're living high in the hog here in a beautiful condo somewhere. No, I'm voting no. You can personally come in here and sit and talk to us if you choose. I know you wouldn't, but I'm not voting yes, and I encourage everybody to not vote or to vote no on Prop 1. There's a better way to do it, and when these GOP guys in Lansing get off their duff and start doing things the right way by simply putting a tax for roads and roads only, not the schools.
Simply tax.
Not the chinchillas.
Simply tax so others can simply live. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because Jimmy's been working really hard, and I appreciate that, Jimmy. I want you to know we've got all that stuff coming. So what we do on The Drift every week is go through the news of the week that
with
we put
dead
on.
Seriousness.
With dead seriousness on
no
the
joking.
Daily Drift. www.thedailydrift.com, and you can email us at gary@thedailydrift.com if you don't want to call in, or you can call in on any of our subjects today, 734-822-1600. And I wanted to start out with the thing. Well, you know what? Let's start out with this. Happy Valentine's Day, dude.
I thought you'd forgotten.
I didn't. I want to say Happy Valentine's Day to my wife and my mother and all the mothers in the world and all the girlfriends and women of the world. May all your best of people, you know, have a Happy Valentine's Day.
What's the story behind St. Valentine? Is that, 'cause that's obviously where Valentine's Day comes from. I know about the massacre in Chicago, you know, with the Capone people and all that, but I don't know the...
Yeah, I have no idea what the roots of Valentine's Day are. I'm sure if somebody wants to call in and let us know, we can. Derek, he's Googling it up right now. Look at him go. Type, type, type. Just type it up. All right, well, let's get into the meat that we wanted to start with here, because I wanted to start out with DHS funding, okay? And number one, if the DHS funding is not put through by the end of the month by Congress and the Senate for Obama to sign, it doesn't mean it shuts all down. There are many, many DHS employees, all the pertinent, important ones, they're exempt from shutdown.
Shouldn't they be the only ones then that are in the DHS?
You would think.
Because you always hear about that. Government shutdown, but essential services will continue. Well, then we don't need the other stuff. For the most part.
Right. Well, yeah, just like when we did the short-term fix. What was the, for crying out loud.
There was some buzzword.
Anyways, it won't completely shut down. So that should not be worrying Americans. The TSA guys will be in. The Border Patrol will be in. They are exempt from any shutdown. But I want people to understand, if there is a shutdown, it is because of Democrats or Barack Obama or both. Because the House has passed a DHS funding bill, and the Senate is looking to pass that DHS funding bill. But the Democrats are keeping it filibustered. They're not even allowing it to come up to be discussed and debate it and do it. You know what? If you want to amend it, you got to debate it. You know, that's where we want to start. And let's start with, Derek, you got that first track. This is Mike Lee being interviewed, and he's talking about where the Democrats are in the Senate on DHS funding. Or we don't have it. Okay, so it's the way it works in this business.
I'm sure sometimes it's on its way.
Well, let's take a call from Brian, who wants to talk about the road funding. Brian, welcome to the show. What do you got?
I don't think there should be an additional tax for the roads. I think the last few years there were good steps taken when everybody was overextended and the property values dropped, and some governments realized they actually had to cut their budget like rates for people, and now claiming that there's a need for an additional road tax instead of claiming that the companies that do work on the roads should stop donating millions of dollars to political contributions, and that way they'd be able to easily drop their fees to something that taxpayers could afford. But that'd be self-defeating. Politicians can't agree with that because then they won't get those contributions. Isn't that the problem?
Yeah, that's exactly. You hit it right on the head, Brian. Right on
so
the head.
So why are you saying that you're in favor of putting an additional 1% tax?
No.
Just because it goes through. No more additional taxes. Those people up there that are taking the money from the people and putting it to their political contribution need to cut their fees and then give money out of their own pocket, not from their business.
Yeah. Now, you're missing the point for me. There is enough road. Right now, half of road funding goes to education. I think that's what the 40 or 50% is already being stolen. And our own road county commissioners have said that repeatedly. You know what? We would have enough money if. And I think Patrick Colbeck had a plan in Lansing as well that did not include raising anything. What I'm saying is I would happily pay another 1% if it was needed and it went only to roads where I could see that it was going to roads. Because I'd love nothing better than to have the Primo Autobahn road. We should have the Primo Autobahn roads of the world.
It's funny you say that because I was thinking maybe what we should do is contract with a German company to come over and do it right.
Oh, well,
if they're building the roads right in Germany, which has weather pretty much like us. If they know how to do it and get it done right. Yeah,
that goes back to what Brian's saying.
But we're getting off this point here.
There's a special interest going on between the road builders, that industry, and the legislatures, and that's the corruption. It is corrupt. You know, it doesn't take a bribe to do it. It just takes doing special interests and getting you reelected. That's the bribe.
So to sum it up, I think what Brian's saying is the money's already there or it should be there. You're saying that you agree with that, but in theory, if the money's not there, then present a clean bill with just road funding that can't be diverted to other areas, yes. And then you would be happy with that.
Absolutely, because I think there is enough money to take care of our roads if you stop spending it on whatever else they're spending it on. So I think you're right, Brian. There is enough money there. I'm disagreeing with you on that. But I would be willing to spend more money if I knew where it was going. And I knew it was being used wisely.
And that should be the case with almost every major category of spending, right?
Yeah, it should be. Absolutely. Anything else, Brian?
No, that's the part that you chose to ignore. You go ahead and support the higher tax as long as they can justify it to you, that 1%, and then the other 99% just put in the cover-up. So as soon as you say it's okay if they can justify this 1%, that just means you don't care about proof for the other 99%. Thanks anyway.
Yeah, well, I think you're misreading me, Brian, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Because, again, you're saying that you agree with Brian that you believe that the money should be spent on the roads.
Right.
But if, in theory, at least present a bill of spending that's clean, understandable, and dedicated for that specific purpose,
absolutely.
And it cannot be diverted elsewhere.
Well, everyone knows I'm a tax-to-spend liberal, so, you know.
Well.
I'm the ultimate tax and spend liberal. Let's take a call from Joe in Wyandotte.
You're part of the global elite.
I am. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I wanted to pile on about the road thing. I'm with you. I wouldn't support a full penny, but I think a half a cent would be fine, and I'd be willing to support that if it were strictly for road repairs. The issue here, even aside from all the other things that are piled on, the school funding, another $50 million for the general fund, for them to dream up general reasons to pad their own pockets or line their friends and neighbors and relatives' pockets with it, is that it goes into the transportation fund. No, we need it to strictly go into a fund for road repairs only. If it goes into the transportation fund, and I sent you two emails on this just about 2 minutes ago, is that you're right. That means money is diverted out of that for bike paths. No, no more bike paths until all the roads are fixed. It means
and roundabouts.
Money gets diverted for landscaping. No, no more trees and shrubs on the sides of the roads until they're fixed. No more sound wall repairs with all the nice fancy art on it until the roads are actually repaired. No more diversion for mass transit. If mass transit needs more funds, let them raise the fees for the people who are actually using the mass transit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know what? They're bringing it up again. There's a train to Traverse City from Ann Arbor. Yeah, it'd be cool, but don't subsidize it. You know, it's like that Wally train out of Ann Arbor to Howell. You know, that's the biggest waste of money. They're spending thousands and thousands of dollars to study it yet again. They've been studying this for 10 years. Let it go. If somebody can make money doing it, let them do it. But don't count on the governments, local, county, or state, to pay for that. I mean, if you can't make a dime doing it, it's not worth doing. That's the way I look at it.
Right. So, again, I'd be with you if it were a clean bill and a clean ballot initiative that strictly went for road repairs for, you know, we're going to raise X amount over the next 5 years, and then the tax goes away, and then we'll go back to using the regular fund. I'd be for it, but as for now, I'm definitely dead set against it. We need elected officials that are against it. Norm Hughes, running for Michigan chair, will oppose the governor on that. We've got to stop electing rubber stamp people to posts that just go along with the GOP establishment.
And I agree with what you're saying. I just want to clarify to everybody, and I've said this over and over now, you said that you would be okay with a half a penny increase. And let's all be clear on that that's really about an 8.3% increase in the
absolutely.
Sales tax. So when people
absolutely.
Hear half a penny, that seems to underplay it like it's, well, half a penny, who the hell cares about that? It's not even worth my time thinking about or talking about.
Right, but so. A full penny, a 16% increase, makes us equal to the second highest sales tax in the country. We cannot hamper Michigan's comeback state status. We've already added costs with the minimum wage. We must stop adding costs to the cost of living in Michigan, or people will begin leaving, a mass exodus like we had under Granholm.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, Joe, thanks for the information, too. I see it now coming into the email, gary@thedailydrift.com, so I'll read through that.
Well, listen, if people start exodus out of the state, it'll be okay because it'll be made up by all the illegals coming in. It'll net out. To a positive increase in population.
Joe, as always, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Ryan. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Let's take a call from Jenny. I'm talking. Jenny wants to put in on the road tax. Jenny, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Jenny?
I'm good. How's everybody?
Good.
Good. I just want to say this. If we really knew where this was going, that would be one thing. But we don't know. Because I don't trust these politicians. I just don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, these are Republicans, and I think that's what some of us seem to forget. These are Republicans that are in control of the state House, the state Senate, and the governorship, and they're taxing us.
Constantly.
They're increasing taxes. Are you kidding me? What the heck happened to us? I know I was the one that was pushing Snyder because... he's marginally less than what Schauer would be doing. But for crying out loud, Snyder, stop taxing us. What the heck?
From the get-go, it's been either actual tax increases or proposals for new taxes and a lot of discussion and debate about it. And these are with Republicans controlling, like you said, governorship, House, and Senate.
Yeah. It's like we've been co-opted and sent back to the Granholm years again.
I'm sorry. I don't trust it. I'm not voting for it.
Well, good, Jenny. I'm glad. You're in the same boat as us. We're voting no on the tax down here. You are, Drake. I'm not putting words in your mouth, am I?
Yeah. No, I'm just sick of all of it.
Okay.
Oh, I wouldn't vote yes on that. Okay, good. No way.
All right. Well, thanks, Jenny. Anything else?
I just wanted to say hey, and I missed you, but I couldn't receive you for a while.
Well, that's all fixed.
Oh, yeah, the transmitter.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we had a little technical difficulties, but it's fixed now. So.
Yeah, it'll be nice to hear some local programming that I trust again.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, Jenny. Appreciate the call, and you have a good Valentine's Day.
Oh, well, big deal. Anyway, you too.
All right, take care. All right, so Derek looked up the origins of Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day was first associated with romantic love in the circle of Geoffrey Chaucer in the High Middle Ages when the tradition of courtly love flourished. In the 18th century England, it evolved into an occasion in which lovers expressed their love for each other by presenting flowers, offering...
Almost made you throw up, didn't it?
Yes. Confectionery and sending greeting cards known as Valentines. In Europe, St. Valentine keys are given to lovers as a romantic symbol and an invitation to unlock the giver's heart, as well as to children in order to ward off St. Valentine's malady. Derek, now you're going to have to look up what St. Valentine's malady is because
that's when you wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, what have I done?
I know what St. Vitus's dance is. That's a... neurological disorder, but I don't know what St. Valentine's malady is. All right, let's take a call from Trudy in Ann Arbor. She wants to talk about the road tax. Okay, we opened up a can of worms.
Yeah, all these calls, I love it.
Trudy, go ahead. What's going on with the road tax for you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to go back in time when Margaret O'Connor was a state representative from Washtenaw County, and every month she would put out a pork barrel list of what some of this money was being spent for. And she was very open about it, and we citizens here in Washtenaw County appreciated it. And as a result of looking at this pork barrel list, we would call our state reps or state senators and say, yes, we like this, or no, we don't like that. And you mentioned something about... chinchillas? Is there some... Now, no. Is that just a joke?
Yeah, we're just joking. It wouldn't surprise me, though, Trudy, if there's something in there about...
chinchillas.
How to raise chinchillas. I don't know. But there's things in there that don't belong with the road tax. Why do they commingle these bills? I want to talk about road funding. Let's do nothing but road funding and take your mass transit, your bike paths,
I know,
and everything else out. One step at a time. The people in Washington and Lansing are not capable of doing more than one thing at a time and doing it right. And even then, they may not get it right.
And at the federal level, and that's kind of where the joke came from with the chinchillas, you know, there's all this stuff added a trillion times more than even at the state level.
Yeah, they in Washington, they pay money to see how monkeys react to cocaine and stuff like that. Come on. So,
and shrimp were being put on little
rowboats
or something to see if they would produce more quotation marks meat by exercising the shrimp.
But, a shrimp exercise wheel.
Would it be wonderful if we would be able to get some sort of pork barreling list from the federal government? Could there be somebody that to let we citizenry know what they're spending the money on?
Well, I would say let's all email Gretchen Driscoll, but she'll pay no attention to us because she likes that soft, touchy-feely stuff. And I would say the same with Rebecca Warren. She's probably the author of that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think we'd be wasting our time. But maybe Patrick Colbeck or somebody can...
Oh, yeah, he's going through with a fine-tooth comb.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, he really is.
Patrick Colbeck's a great guy, and it's a shame he's going to be termed out, I think, next time around, but...
His eyes are melting directly from looking at spreadsheets.
Yeah. Anything else, Trudy?
No, but keep up the good work. I try to listen to Wham all day, particularly on Saturdays, starting with the roundtable discussion, and then Joe Gannon, and so on and so forth, and Matt. Well, anyway, keep up the good work. We're all behind you, gentlemen and ladies.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Trudy.
Thanks, Trudy.
Bye-bye. Okay, so great. That's a lot of good. Boy, that... set off a firestorm, didn't it?
Well, it just proves that everybody's out there listening. It's just a matter of, you know, buttons being pushed.
Well,
to,
let's keep that up. I mean, I'm hoping people get on your social media and spread this show and other shows from Wham. I mean, you can link them up. Just do it on Facebook and tell people. You know what? I will do the best I can to get the information that Jimmy Shields has been sending to me and getting that to the website so that you can see it, because I've got a page that I kind of put out there for the Tea Party guys. And I'll get that on there, but you really need to know that there's a lot of ugly things in Prop 1. And just vote no. Just vote no and send the signal to Lansing that we've had enough of your games. You want to fix the roads? We want to fix the roads. Let's see one thing for fixing the roads. You know, number one, like Brian said, use the money you've already got wisely. And then number two, if you really need to come back for money, I want to see something simple and concise that we can look at and we know where it's going.
You know, Snyder unleashed his $54 billion budget just recently. And I think, if I remember correctly, like 75, 76% of it is for education and social services. Now, that's the real meat of the matter. But it seems, especially with education, that's almost an untouchable. You know, if we really wanted to make the hard decisions and a lot of tears shed, especially from teachers' unions and the whole system that we can't seem to touch at all, we could have some major, major savings in this state and have probably the same results or probably a lot better. But it just seems like it's that sacred cow that can never really be touched in a meaningful way.
Yeah. Yeah. The Michigan CAPCON, the Mackinac Center, has stated repeatedly that if you take the benefit packages of state workers and you mirror the benefit packages of the private sector here in Michigan, mm-hmm. you'd save $5 billion a year. $5 billion a year if you just bring everybody to the same benefit package. I mean, government should not be getting a better benefit package than us in the private sector. I'm sorry. I think they're, according to the statistics, they're already getting paid more than the average worker in the private sector. So why do they need better benefits as well?
And, you know, if you look back, say, 100 plus years ago, I think, was it you that was telling me the way the kids would write back then? I mean, you couldn't even pass some of these tests that were presented then. Now, all the additional money, obviously, that is spent now compared to 100 years ago, why are we dumber?
Yeah.
So I'm saying there could be a revolution in education that would definitely have to involve parents.
Yes.
I don't know if that's even possible anymore, because in a large way, parents have utilized the school system as a paid babysitter.
Yeah.
Just ship the kids off to school. They're done with them for so many hours. Kids come home. Parents aren't going to want to know or don't have the energy or care or even maybe even have the understanding to help their kids with homework. That's part of the problem right there. Because I would think 100 plus years ago, the parents were instrumental in seeing that their kids were educated.
Yeah, absolutely.
As in conjunction with the school.
Yeah.
But I think now it's more like it's all the school. And if a kid goes in there and sits all day and doesn't want to study or learn or whatever, they're just passed along.
Yeah. You know. Well, because they've disempowered the teachers as well. I mean, you can't bend a kid over with a paddle, you know, and
that's true too.
You know, stop disrupting class. This is inappropriate. You need to do your homework and get along in class and answer questions.
Yeah, when you add up apathy, hands being tied, just diverting responsibility off to somebody else, that's a big cost to the taxpayer for very little result.
Yeah. I think in the end, what will happen, things are going to get worse, and probably a generation or maybe two will suffer very badly because of this. And, you know, our kids and our grandkids are probably going to be poorer than us. They're going to probably be worse off, and they may find themselves in a recession-type situation where maybe the great-grandkids will learn to work harder because of what their parents went through. It's a shame that we got to go all the way to the bottom to start back up again, but I think that's just the way society is.
Yeah, especially a shame when you think about it, never before, and I've said this before, has information ever been so readily available for free online? I can go to Barnes & Noble right now and buy a thick book on studying for the SAT.
Yeah. All right, we're going to pick this up on the other side of the show, and see you then.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Kay Long. The manhunt continuing following a terrorist attack at a cafe in Copenhagen, Denmark. The shooter's opening fire at a freedom of speech event attended by an artist on the Al-Qaeda hit list for his caricatures of the Prophet Muhammad. Dennis Meyhoff-Brink at the event. He describes what happens after the shots.
Two persons come running into the room with the guns. But it turns out that it's people panic immediately, but it turns out that they are from the intelligence. And
Brink going on to describe the mood of the police officers.
They don't seem to be in control of the situation themselves. One of them is shot in the leg and is bleeding.
Brink speaking on the phone to CNN. One person reportedly killed, police officers injured, the artists not hurt. At least two terrorists involved, their getaway car found abandoned. The GOP's weekly address with a message for the president. The Blaze Radio's Brad James with more.
The governor of Oklahoma is urging President Obama to sign the Keystone Pipeline bill.
I'm appealing to him to do the right thing, sign this bill, let us finally build this pipeline, let us get our people working.
That's Oklahoma's Governor Mary Fallon in this week's GOP address. Fallon saying what the pipeline is really about is jobs and hope for the future.
Not politics, not Republicans and Democrats, it's about jobs, it's about energy. It's about infrastructure.
The pipeline would support more than 40,000 jobs. Fallon saying the Keystone Project would be a safe, cost-effective way to transport oil and help secure our country's energy independence.
The Democratic governor of Oregon, John Kitzhaber, resigning. His announcement coming as he remains the target of a criminal corruption investigation into conflict of interest. The state treasurer and several top Democrats all asking the governor to step down. The scandal leading to his resignation hinging on the role of his fiance as an unpaid advisor to the governor. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
There's going to be a bowling fundraiser to support Friends of Michigan Animals Rescue Saturday, February 21st at Thunder Bowl Lanes, 4200 Allen Road in Allen Park. 4:30 p.m. check-in, 5 p.m. start time. The cost is $20 per person, which includes 3 hours of bowling, pizza, and pop. For more information, call 734-461-9458. Do you know someone who has been touched by cancer? Do you wish there was something you could do to help? Well, you can. Fans for a Cure is having its third annual Pink Tie Extravaganza on Saturday, February 28th to raise funds for local families who are battling cancer. Fans for a Cure is a local 501c3 charity that supports these families through their financial, emotional, and social trials. These are the very real struggles for people who suddenly find themselves in the fight of their life. Fans for a Cure is dedicated to helping the victims of cancer and their families through these trying times. Don't let the name fool you. They are not just another organization seeking to raise money for a cure. They are there to help local families fight that battle on a much more personal level. It'll be a fun and exciting evening while helping this worthy cause. The event is being held at Walden Woods, 2975 Old US 23 in Howell. Tickets are only $50 each. Find out more by going to fansforacure.org or look on Facebook or call 517-546-0453. To review these events and others, you can always visit Wham's website at www.whamradio.com and click on Community Events.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community. You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift this Valentine's Day. And Derek looked up St. Valentine's Day malady is epilepsy.
Oh.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
Why? I wonder why it's called St. Valentine's.
I don't know. Derek, look it up some more. There you go.
What does that have to do
with
epilepsy?
You're working him to death out there. Look at him.
I thought it'd be like buyer's remorse. Like, oh, now I got this chick, and what do I do with her? Or maybe vice versa.
Well, let's take care of our sponsor this half hour. Is J&M Landscaping. 248-640-7029. Located in Whitmore Lake. You can get hold of J&M Landscaping at j_m_landscaping@yahoo.com if you want to email. They provide professional landscaping services and much more. They do a lot of tree services. If you got trees to get down this year, anything that needs to be cut up or trimmed or pruned, J&M Landscaping is the place to go. 248-640-7029. They've got a great big ad in the Current for February, and hopefully they'll be in March as well. But they've been in business for over 25 years. They do residential and commercial, and they have referral discounts available as well. So free estimates and reasonable rates, and they also do sprinkler systems. So it's just a wealth of information. 248-640-7029. That's J&M Landscaping LLC. Okay. Well, we opened up a can of worms. We haven't been able to get to anything. We did this last week, too. I didn't get to anything I wanted to talk about. It's not my show anymore, I guess. Let's take a call from...
What are you insinuating?
Let's take a call from Mike in Ann Arbor, who wants to weigh in on the road issue. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Mike.
First of all, I thought our gas tax was supposed to support our roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got another bundle of money that's sitting around. How about that MCCA thing that we pay every year when we get our insurance? And this bundle of money is sitting up there, billions of dollars, from what I understand. And we're paying for this. We're paying for our own insurance, for collision insurance and everything else, and for our liability insurance. And then the state hits us. For instance, I just ended up paying, I think it was for my three vehicles, over $250 for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that, Mike. I mean, I probably glaze over when I look at those bills
in. Take a look at it. Yeah. And every year, this is to take care of people like motorcycle guys who ride around without helmets, they get injured, or people who don't have insurance, and then the state picks it up. And from my understanding, I heard this about a year ago on another station out of Detroit, where the state has in excess of $15 billion.
Wow.
In this particular, take a look at your insurance policy that you've got there,
okay.
And the insurance industry in this state will, and no other state in the country has this. We're the only one that has charged this, and every one of us is paying for this.
Is this like a catastrophic claims?
Yes,
fund?
It is.
Okay,
yeah.
Catastrophic. That would be the CC. All right, got it.
Yeah, take a look at it. But the other thing is, you know, we've got a bunch of teachers that are teaching our kids who are about the dumbest in the industrial world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supporting them with their retirements. You know, we've got teachers who retire with $50,000, $60,000 a year, and the kids are dumber than dirt, you know. And we're supplying them with their retirement. Hey, teacher, you know, I worked until I retired. I opened up a 401k. I financed it myself. You can't do it?
I know. Mike, have you ever tried talking to one of these teachers? I have, and it is, I mean.
God help you. You're attacking. It's like you're attacking the Trinity, for God's sakes.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. That's the untouchable.
I mean, there's no conversation to be had. There's no back and forth. There's no ability for them to be receptive to any new information. They just know that they're the victim.
But take a look at your kids today. Take a look at the math scores worldwide. We are at the 24th, 25th. We got places like Slovenia, for God's sakes, is way the heck ahead of us. In reading, our kids can't even read.
Yeah, and yet we're in the top five or top one for spending on education.
Let me tell you this. Go past any high school, and you'll see a world-class athletic field. Go inside in world-class gyms. There's a high school out here a few years back. I think it's Lincoln Consolidated High School. When they were building, expanding that high school, they had Italian marble in the bathrooms. In a high school, you're putting Italian marble in the bathrooms?
Oh,
and guess who pays for it? We, the taxpayers.
Oh, it's luxury spending as if there's no end to the money to come in, yet they're the ones screaming about how they are so victimized and need more money for their pensions and for their lifetime of health care and everything else.
You know, it's just gotten to the point where we, the taxpayer, we, the ordinary persons, are just being taken for a ride. And the sad part about it, most people don't see a darn thing. You know, they just go along like dummies and sheep and just say, okay, fine, I'll pay it. I don't want to raise a stink about it. But I am sick and tired. I'll give you an example. I watched eight guys from Washtenaw County a few months ago filling potholes. Eight guys. And these guys aren't working for $11 an hour, believe me. Two guys with a shovel and six other guys standing around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know it's Orange and Sleeps 8, right?
Yeah.
Road commission vehicles.
Yeah. No, well put, Mike. I agree with you 100%. I'll just add on to that. I think that as far as our kids being so dumb, you know, I hammer the teachers all the time, but I'm going to just defend them a little bit here and say that I think that the parents are also a part of that equation for our kids being so stupid.
Oh, yeah. God, don't get me started.
And unmotivated.
Don't get me started on parents nowadays. Yeah. Parents nowadays, they're worse. They're the worst thing. I was never for abortions. I was anti-abortion, but tell you, I've told my wife a couple times that I've seen some situations where I say, you know, I could see an abortion.
You could see an abortion, and the kid's like 8 years old.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
now, I love your show, but I'll tell you what. Take a look at your insurance policy, and take a look at that MCCA thing there, and you're going to be madder than hell, and you're going to have a whole show next week about that. Hey. That is a travesty, and it's the money is sitting up in Lansing, and we're all paying for it, and that could fix the roads in Michigan. They, oh my God, we could pave it with gold.
Hey, yeah. Mike, to clarify, too, you mentioned $250 for three vehicles. That obviously isn't your total insurance bill.
No,
that's
no,
just the
no,
portion
no,
that you've been describing.
And that's for 6 months.
Can you tell us roughly? I mean, don't feel free not to answer this question, but
sure.
I'm outraged by the – I don't have collision on my car anymore because it's too old, and I'm outraged by how much I have to spend every 6 months.
But you got PLPD?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I was with an insurance company for about 17, 18 years, and I just – didn't bother looking around. I did a little looking around, and I got collision and everything, and the whole ball of wax, the same kind of insurance that I had for my old company, and I said, hang on, my wife just yelled to me, it's $185 a year per vehicle. Per
how
vehicle
can that be?
For that MCCA.
Wow.
I spend over $700 a year.
Wow.
With
okay.
No collision.
Okay, yeah. Now I went to
one
I
vehicle.
I had my wife go on the phone. She checked with a few places, and I went to this one place, and it's full insurance. I'll say it's Citizens Insurance. I'll give it the name.
Good.
I saved $400 every 6 months.
Citizens Insurance.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Maybe we'll get them as a sponsor next week.
$400 every 6 months, and on two vehicles, full collision, great liability, the whole ball of wax. But I did a little looking around. But $185 per car per year you're paying to the state for nothing.
Wow.
And Snyder wants to raise it, by the way.
Yeah, well.
He wants more. He wants more bucks.
Well, of course he does. He's probably not turning into a Democrat. I think he has always been a Democrat and just ran as a Republican. But, well, Mike, thank you so much for
okay.
the call and the info.
Thanks,
and
Mike.
And have your insurance agent call us.
Why don't you call him? Citizens.
Have all right.
A good day.
Thanks, Mike. You
thanks.
Too. All right, so Derek did a little more work
Mike,
on
Mike always makes great calls.
He does. He does. St. Valentine's affliction was once common in southern Germany, eastern Switzerland, Austria, and northern Italy. And St. Valentine is the patron saint of epilepsy.
Oh. Ooh, makes
so
sense
go.
Then. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
I
there
guess.
You go. Yeah. Interesting. Let's see, who knew that you would be learning all this stuff about Valentine's Day and love on this show? Who says we're provocateurs of politics?
We're spreading it thick.
Like jam,
yes.
Baby. Like jam. All right, well, let's move on because I wanted to talk about – did you get that track ready, Derek, Mike Lee? All right, this is Mike Lee talking about the Senate's – The House of Representatives has passed DHS funding, and it's now sitting in the Senate yet again, and nothing's being done. Let's roll with that tape.
Yeah, so here's what's happening. You know, President Obama issued this unconstitutional executive order a couple of months ago, saying that he was granting amnesty to millions of people inside the country illegally, without authority to do it, no statutory authority, no constitutional authority. And Republicans in Congress, to their credit, have said, okay, look, here's what's going to happen. If the president wants to do this, fine, but we're not going to facilitate it. What we're going to do is we're willing to fund everything else within the Department of Homeland Security, but we're not going to fund anything that relates to the implementation of this unconstitutional executive action. And now the Democrats won't even let us debate that bill. They're not willing to even take it up. They're not even willing to subject it to an amendment process where they could change it into something that they want. They're obstructing. They're being purely obstructionist because they're trying to protect the president in his unconstitutional action, and that's wrong.
Okay, so that's where we're at. Once again, the Democrats had the majority and did nothing for the last 4 years, and now they're the minority, and they're still keeping us from doing anything in the Senate once again. So And it's just to protect. They call it a clean. We want a clean funding bill. They don't want to see anything. I guess it's dirty if you're trying to stop unconstitutional acts. That makes it dirty.
Yeah, that really? Undermine the country.
That offends me when they say, I want a clean bill. Screw you and your clean bill.
Right.
I don't want to pay for executive actions giving illegals amnesty. You know, people say, well, Gary, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? We're going to have a few people coming. A lot of them are already here.
It's only like a penny increase. They're already here.
Here's the problem. Those executive actions allow these illegal immigrants to get Social Security cards. Okay.
Driver's license.
Now, what do you need to vote? What do you got to show to go vote? Social Security card and a driver's license. You're going to have 5 million people voting to give themselves more money.
It's so out of control. I mean, how can you not be cynical and disgusted all the time?
Yeah. I mean, here's the other news that broke this week. And I don't think you saw this on the mainstream media. Illegal aliens are now allowed to go ahead and file taxes and get refunds even though they haven't paid. Are you kidding me? I work. I pay. My income goes away into the federal coffers, and I have to beg to get it back. And these people haven't worked here, and now they're filing and getting, because they used the earned income credit and everything else, and they're getting money back that they haven't put in. That's why we don't. That's why I'm angry about it. That's why I don't want them to have driver's license. I don't want them voting for even more funds and benefits, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to have 5 million people. You might as well write off the 2016 election right now if the GOP doesn't stand up and stop this.
Mike was saying earlier, you know, he's anti-abortion, but and I think he was joking in some cases, some of these kids he has to deal with, he's like questions that that stance. It almost makes me think, in theory, could we have some kind of a coup for somebody to take over to do the right thing? I mean, are we getting to that point?
Well, have the military take over?
I don't know. I mean, you can't trust anybody with that kind of power. But it's like, I think some people are probably starting to feel so desperate. It's like, just get a strong man in there and let's pray that he does the right thing for America and he cuts through the crap.
Well, oddly enough, the conspiracy side of me is saying that's why Obama's been purging the military. That's why those 20 generals and top dogs are all been purged for, oh, they had an affair or they had a little gambling issue or they were drinking too much. You know, that and the layoff of 20,000 mid-level military administrators, you know. These are your sergeants, your colonels, your lieutenants. Getting rid of those guys. Why? Because he wants his own people in there? He wants the new ones in there so that will listen? That's the conspiracy.
It's like a Stalinist purge in the 1936-37 era.
Yeah. Well, you got that track from Louis Gutierrez? Louis Gutierrez. This is our congressman who loves this illegal stuff and wants Obama to let all these illegals in.
La Rosa!
Yeah. He got cornered by a journalist saying, how do you feel about the refunds that the illegals are now getting? You got that, Derek? Let's go.
Congressman Gutierrez, I just want to ask about the IRS commissioner's statement that undocumented immigrants who didn't pay taxes would be able to claim refunds once they get Social Security numbers.
I know nothing of the sort.
He said it at a hearing on Wednesday.
Hispanic Sergeant Schultz.
Well, he said at a hearing on Wednesday.
He
was asked that actually on hearing.
What he said.
Well, it was already reported, so why don't you answer it?
Can I answer it?
He already said it on Wednesday.
You should go ask him.
He was already asked.
You will bring something negative.
He was already asked it on Wednesday.
It doesn't matter what I say. You will turn it against all of us here at this Congress. You know it.
We have been.
I know nothing. Yeah, come on. You knew doggone well that's what you sat in the office with Obama when you crafted it to let these people in here so they could get a little leg up. Let's give them a little money, too.
Wow.
Louis Gutierrez. Dirtbag. Dirtbag. And yet he keeps getting elected down there as they turn Texas purple to allow guys like him to take control of our government.
Yeah. You see? I mean, what's the answer?
He'll never make man of the year.
but let's take this a little further. I mean, what do we do? I mean, what?
Number one, you've got to vote and you got to support conservative people. Now, We can go back to the primaries and everything else. Vote for the most fiscally conservative person you can find that is electable. You know, in the primary, vote your conscience. I know a lot of us want to vote Tea Party and Ted Cruz and stuff. I fully support that.
Yeah, but haven't we been doing that?
Not well enough, obviously. I'm not going to go out on the limb and say it's time for the military to do a coup and throw Obama out of office or anything else. I'm not like that.
Yeah, and all of our listeners out there, I'm not, even though I said that, I'm not like saying I'm for it and I'm advocating and I'm leading the charge on it. I'm just kind of talking in a philosophical tone about the disgust, the cynicism, the contempt, the apathy that we're all starting to feel just to survive on a daily basis with this bad news that just hits us continuously. You start thinking, drastic times require drastic measures, maybe. You flirt with the idea, and what would happen? Would that be the answer? And I know that 99.999% of the time, that when that's been tried in other countries, it's catastrophic.
Yes.
And it's almost impossible without a lot of bloodshed to get your democracy back.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just kind of speaking out of my you-know-what right now.
I feel exactly
where I have no
way.
Answers, so I'm going way off the beaten path to express
anger. I'm right there with
anger.
You. Yeah, I'm right there with you. And thank God that we're allowed to do this show once a week, or my head would probably explode. For me, this is a catharsis every week to get this off my chest and to let other people call into the show like we've had today talking about this, you know? Thank goodness. Thank you to Linda and Theron for letting me do this with you every week.
And
you
know? I think there's probably a lot of listeners out there that feel just like we do right now, where you just get to the point where you keep asking, what's the answer? What can we do?
Yeah.
And I know what the standard, you know, thing that we can do is, but sometimes it just doesn't feel like it's enough.
What we can do is get on social media and campaign. You can't just vote. You have to campaign. You have to get out there and use a little common sense and talk it up to people, because there are a lot of people who still don't vote. There are a lot of people who hang back in elections, you know, for various reasons. We go to this all the time. I can't vote for Romney. I can't do this. You know, you got to vote for the least evil. I mean, you just have to do that.
Right. But okay, let's take that path. You know, you vote for the least evil, but it seems like we're still in this momentum that we can't turn it around.
Yeah, all we're doing is taking the foot off the gas. We're not hitting the brakes, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if taking your foot off the gas is the best you're going to get, that's what we have to do. It's frustrating, dude. I feel with you. That coup thing rolls in my head all the time. And that may happen through no fault of ours. I mean, at some point, you know, let's talk about this overseas
stuff.
Well,
when the debt blows up and you have just a
could be the
catastrophe
debt. It could be the debt.
At that level, then you could see anything happen.
And it could be a president asking for war authorization in a willy-nilly fashion with no plan. Yemen falls this week. Whether the Marines had to give up their weapons as they left Yemen this last couple of days here, I don't know if that's true or not, but Krauthammer, I think, said it happened. And then I saw a report from the Marines saying, no, we did not do that. We damaged a bunch of stuff that we left behind. Do we have that track with Charles Krauthammer ready, Derek? Let's play this, because I like Charles Krauthammer. 99% of the time we're on the same page. Let's talk about Obama and his foreign policy before we give up the ghost on the show today.
Look, on the tactical level, just sort of explaining, looking at the evacuation, it's really it's humiliating. And this is after Benghazi. It isn't as if we didn't know what was going to happen. The Houthis took effective control of Sana'a, the capital, a few weeks ago. A week ago, they announced they were going to take over the government. This is not sudden. It isn't as if it happened overnight. And yet, with all the planning, they had to leave with the keys in the cars running. The Marines humiliatingly had to remove their weapons and leave them behind. And you asked, why was there no military transport? There was no answer to that. I assume it's because the Houthi government, or the junta, you might say, could not guarantee the safety, or might even have said, we're going to shoot you down.
Yeah, maybe the people with the Death to America signs didn't really want to help us out too much.
Well, maybe when people hold those signs and they do the chanting, they actually mean it.
The problem is, it's not just Yemen. I mean, Yemen is a major problem because of Al-Qaeda's faction there. But as I pointed out with Jen, it appears that President Obama's Middle Eastern policy is in tatters. I mean, the embassy in Yemen, the embassy in Syria, the embassy in Libya, the hopes and dreams behind the Arab Spring have not materialized. And as we've gotten behind the removal of these autocratic leaders, what has replaced them has been anything but favorable to the United States.
Look, this is a policy in complete collapse.
Okay. You agree? Obviously.
Oh, absolutely. And I would think that in Yemen, with the Houthis, which are a Shiite militia taking control, and Yemen, the government being Sunni, I would think there's going to be a civil war similar to what you're seeing in Syria.
Yeah. And when you see this kind of thing happening, and this is the real world.
On the southern border with Saudi Arabia, yeah. A major oil producer.
Yeah. When
and,
you see,
in the Gulf there.
Yeah. When you see this happening, but Derek, you got the next track ready of Obama. This is Obama working on an interview with Vox, V-O-X. You got that ready? Okay, this is his take on terrorism.
Do you think the media sometimes overstates the sort of level of alarm people should have about terrorism and this kind of chaos as opposed to a longer-term problem of climate change and epidemic disease?
Absolutely. And, I don't blame the media for that. What's the famous saying about local newscasts, right? If it bleeds, it leads, right?
Or if
you show crime stories and you show fires, because that's what folks watch. It's all about ratings, and the problems of terrorism and dysfunction and chaos, along with plane crashes and a few other things. That's the equivalent when it comes to covering international affairs. There's just not going to be a lot of interest in a headline story that we have cut infant mortality by really significant amounts over the last 20 years, or that extreme poverty has been slashed, or that
show me the fact
there's been enormous progress with a program we set up when I first came into office to help poor farmers increase productivity and yields.
What program was
it's
that?
It's not a sexy story. And climate change is one that is happening at such a broad scale and such a complex system that it's a hard story for, I think, the media to tell.
It's going to be 10 below zero tonight.
Look, the point is this. My first job is to protect the American people. It is entirely legitimate for the American people to be deeply concerned when you've got a bunch of violent, vicious zealots who behead people or randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris.
Randomly shoot a bunch of folks. You don't think that was targeted? Just randomly. We just randomly picked a Jewish deli on the Jewish holy day of the week.
We need another hour to go into the foreign policy thing, because I mean it is just outrageous some of the things that are happening every day.
Absolutely.
That we could touch on and what needs to be done.
Yeah.
I mean we're in a world war right now and our heads are in the sand.
Yeah. Absolute outrage.
Those Marines, I mean, I would think that a rapid deployment force in southern Turkey could be used to go in and hit ISIS, and you could call in airstrikes, and you could have certain vehicles. You go in and you hit them, you smash them, and you get back out.
Yep.
Turkey's a NATO member, in theory.
In theory. Well, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com. Stay abreast of the information I put on there for you, and see you next week.
See ya.